Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Might have to bear with me a little bit today. I don't know exactly what's going on with my voice. It started about 2 hours ago and it's just gotten worse as the day goes on. And I think what it is, you know, someone told me it never snows in South Carolina in the winter, but in the spring it pollens. And let me tell you what, based on the layer of pollen out there, it is, yeah, we're right in the season. And last week out on Lake Hartwell, it was really, you go into the back of a pocket and the whole back of the pocket should be yellow. So even as early as last week, it was really coming out. But anyway, you're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. I'll be with you for the next hour or as long as my voice holds out. Hopefully I'm got some Ricola here trying to at least keep things going as long as I can. Got to start out this show thanking some people for last week. I mean, it was just I told a lot of people at this age, you know, first like this aren't usually fun, but fishing my first FLW tournament was just a ball. And I want to thank, Bill Taylor, who is the head of fishing operations with FLW, Joe Apogger, who wasn't here. He was officiating a wedding. But he's the one that kind of got this ball rolling. And then of course, Brian Johnson, who was actually on site taking care of everything that I could possibly need. Need to thank Neil Paul with Visit Anderson. He worked hard to put on a great tournament as far as support, the facilities, just ran seamlessly. And then Matt Shell with Anderson County, got to give a real thanks to them because they brought out a transmitter just so this show could be live from down there. And last week I enjoyed meeting a bunch of you listeners, possibly got some new listeners this week. Hey, welcome to the show. Hope you had a good time. I wanted to get now that, well, I'm not going to get off the track here. I'm going to stay with what I had planned. But if you were down there last week, you know how well it went. We had a lot of new people, and I've got an email that was written to FLW about a family that was down there, had never been in contact with a fishing tournament, and just a great email. So anyway, thanks to all those people. Thank here at the station. Dave was here. He was doing a little 1 minute updates for me. Those ran great. Appreciate it. James came down and did the engineering for me. And just other than the wind blowing a little hard, it was just a beautiful, beautiful week last week. It actually did rain on us a little bit Sunday afternoon during weigh-in, just enough to wet the pavement. Other than that, you can't get 2 weeks in South Carolina where the weather stays the same or as close to the same as it stayed for those last 2 weeks. So had a great time. Speaking of which, I forgot last week, I have two FLW memberships that I have to give away. So if you want a membership to the FLW, it's the magazine, you get it and some things they send out to you and all. And if you want them, you can have them. The first two callers, 877-235-9405, 877-235-9405. I've got two FLW memberships for you. Good for a year. Have at it. You'll enjoy it. I'm actually in, my wife actually said something Sunday at the weigh-in. She goes, does this mean that you're going to like start fishing more of these? And I think it was out of her mouth before she could think about it because she's clamped her hand around. She goes, what did I just say? So, but we'll see. It's going to be fun. Whatever happens. And I may fish a few more of these things. It was fun. I'll admit it was fun. Anyway, on to the calendar of events. And if, of course, you know, we had an officer Jacobs was killed here in Greenville, and this was at the top of the list for the calendar this week. Henry Smokehouse, this is their third annual spring oyster roast. They are going to set this up as a fundraiser for Officer Jacobs' wife and kids. 100% of sales going to the family. Community taproom is involved. Larkin Sawmill has graciously donated their facility for this thing. So it's Friday, April the 1st. That's this coming Friday, 4 to 9 down at Larkin's Sawmill, North Main. It's 22 Graves Drive, Greenville, South Carolina. This is to benefit Officer Jacobs and his family. So they do say, due to parking restrictions, we're asking the folks please carpool, bike, walk, however you wish. Try to bring cash. That way they don't have to run the debit cards and give the fees and all that. So anyway, that's first up on the list. And I hope you'll make an effort to get out there. It's Henry Smokehouse, Spring Annual Oyster Roast, for Officer Jacobs' family. Sea Islands branch of the Quality Deer Management Association is having a sporting clays and banquet April the 2nd, Turkey Hill Plantation in Ridgeland, South Carolina. Sporting clays starts at 1:30, banquet at 5 o'clock. You can go to QDMA and all their South Carolina events and find this, not only this one, but a lot of them. That's Quality Deer Management, Sea Islands branch fundraiser, sporting clays and banquet, Ridgeland, South Carolina. Let's see. Yeah, it's kind of expensive. I don't know, a couple $75. That's not bad. Singles 50. I was looking at the sponsor stuff for 2,500. But anyway, go have some fun, shoot some clays. Sunhurst Adventures. If you're thinking about purchasing a kayak, canoe, or stand-up paddleboard, come try before you buy. From 12 to 4, you can try over 100 different types of canoes, kayaks, and stand-up paddleboards. $5 access to the park, $5 donation to Friends of Paris Mountain, which tells you this is happening at Paris Mountain State Park. Get you access to this awesome event. Bring the whole family for a full day of fun memories on the water. That is happening next Sunday, April the 3rd, 12 to 4. Paris Mountain State Park. That's kind of a Sunrift demo day. It's the annual demo day. Go take advantage of that. $5 to get in the park, $5 just to benefit the Friends of Paris Mountain, and you get to play for a day. Musgrove Mill Battlefield Guided Hike. This is a free event. Well, I'm sorry, $2 per person. Sorry. April 9th, 10 to 12. I always try to throw some of these in, some of these historical things that come up in South Carolina. Saturday, Musgrove Mill Historic Site will offer a guided hike of the Battlefield Trail. The Battle of Musgrove's Mill, which occurred on August 19th, 1780, was a turning point in the colonist fight for independence on the South Carolina frontier in the summer of 1780. It's kind of funny to read South Carolina frontier. This ranger-led program will follow the 1.3-mile Battlefield Trail and will visit part of the actual battlefield. There's a limited availability for the hikes, so reservations are recommended. You can find out more about this at the South Carolina State Parks website. Again, that's April 9th, 10 to 12. This is, I think I'm going to save this one because this one's got a lot to it, and it kind of bleeds over into another one. And then because we got Andy Montgomery with Bass is going to call in at the bottom of the hour, so I'll go over a little bit more of that after Andy's call. Charleston Outdoor Fest, April 15th to the 17th at James Island County Park. This is one you're going to want to be at also. It's a three-day festival, canoeing, kayaking, paddleboarding, rock climbing, slacklining, mountain biking, archery, disc golf. There's something for everyone. Throughout the weekend, the Charleston Outdoor Fest will also be hosting the East Coast Sea Kayak Symposium and a number of races and competitions. Entry fees are separate from festival admission. Please see each area for details. Festival hours, Friday 1 to 5, Saturday 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday 9 to 4. Festival admission. Gate admission is $2. You can stroll the vendor village, enjoy food from local vendors, and view the sights and sounds of the festival. Let's see. It says Triad Zone Pass for $10 per person. Get on the water in a kayak, canoe, or sup. Ride a mountain bike over obstacles. Test your archery skills. Try your hand at disc golf. Or scale the climbing wall. That's the Triad Zone Pass. That's pretty good. Symposium and competition fees are separate. That sounds like a good one. I've actually talked to a friend of mine in Charleston who works for Time Out Sports. As soon as he gets back from his honeymoon, he's going to come on and give us the lowdown on the whole weekend. The Striped Bass Festival. Now, we got a lot of striper fishermen here. This is the Striped Bass. This is Clarendon County. It's the 37th year. The Clarendon County Striped Bass Festival is the biggest festival celebrating of spring, a tribute to the beauty of our country, and a special salute to the striped bass, which put Santee Cooper Lakes, Marion and Moultrie, and Clarendon County on the fishing map of the world. This is happening April 23rd, 2016. That's at least as a fishing tournament. The festival kicks off Friday, April 22nd, and we'll run through Sunday. Fishing tournament. April 23rd, you can go to Clarendon County's website. It's all over there. And the entry fee for the fishing tournament's right there. It's $150 plus a $10 big fish fee. So that's the calendar. Come back. We're going to talk to Andy Wicker about the Race Cut Championships on Lake Hartwell coming up in a couple of weeks. Uh, funny. And his, when his intro music started, I was like, that's not my intro music. Caught me off guard. You know, last year I had the opportunity to be involved in the ABA's American Fishing Championship down on Lake Hartwell, and it was won by another South Carolina angler from Prosperity, South Carolina. That was Andy Wicker, and Andy joins us again. Andy, how are you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, you're still down in Prosperity, right?
Yeah, well, from area, but right next door, yes, sir.
And you're, of all things, you're sponsored by Level Rods now, aren't you?
That's right. I'm on the Level Rods post staff. Pretty good rods.
They are. I've got a few of them myself and used them last week, and I was real impressed with them. I think more than anything, when you talk to Anthony, he knows those rods, you know? It's not like he just had somebody do them and stuck his name on them. He's very involved in that process.
Right. I mean, he's been around the business for a while. He's held a lot of different rods in his hand and knows what's good and knows what's needed. So it works out.
Well, what you been doing since last year when you won the AFT?
I've been getting used to the boat, getting the boat set up, taking it out, having a blast with it, and still working down in Columbia and fishing a lot of tournaments around Lake Murray, and tournament season's just now kicking off, so getting back in the groove of things finally. But it's been a good break.
Yeah, Andy won a brand new Triton last year and got a Ram for a couple of years, and I saw you had a picture of that. You finally got it all set up. What electronics did you finally go with?
Well, I got the Lowrance, electronics on it. I'm a Lowrance guy. I've always have been.
Okay.
A lot of people like the Garmins and Hummingbirds, and they're all good now. I mean, it's a Ford Chevrolet type deal, in my opinion. But I think for me, the Lowrance is just a little bit more user friendly for the things I like to do. So I ended up getting a 12 and a 9 on front, and of course I got to have them linked up and all that stuff so they're sharing information. So I got them all finally rigged up. So.
And your brother's happy to have his boat back, and your dad's happy to have his truck back, right?
Yes, there's odds. My dad, I haven't been in the bullet in a long time. The only time I've driven the bullet lately is when my dad and I fish tournaments, and we help each other load and unload the boat up, and I went and sat down in the bullet, and I went, wow, this thing sits a lot lower than my boat. It's not quite the same. I don't remember it being this low. It's been a long time since I've been in them.
Oh, but you made a lot of good memories in that boat.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, without them, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, of course, I wouldn't be able to fish all those tournaments. So, definitely owe a lot to them for sure.
Well, you're fishing in the bullet. You mean you're not taking the Triton and letting them fish out of your boat?
Not quite as much. Well, yes, they are fishing out of it, but I'm just the captain of the boat. That's all.
I got you. What's your tournament season been like so far this year?
It's been good and bad. I've had some bad ones, but I've had a lot of good ones this year too. I came in fifth in the BFL on Lake Murray, and I won several other tournaments earlier this spring on Lake Murray. The weekend series, we had our first tournament on Lake Kiawee. A few weeks ago, I didn't do too good in that one, but I've had some real good ones this year. I fished a tournament yesterday on Lake Murray and came in fifth, and had some good ones, had some bad ones too, but yeah. I mean, that's the nature of the beast, but as long as we're having some good ones, that's all that matters.
As long as the good ones even out the bad ones, you'll take them, right?
Oh yeah, no doubt about that.
Well, I get, now, the race guy, did you win in the AFT? Did you get an automatic bid into that, or how does that work for you?
Well, The one in April coming up, that national championship, if you win that one in October, you receive an automatic bid to fish in that one.
Okay.
This April in a couple of weeks, but I qualified through the weekend series last year.
Okay.
And that's the national championship for that year long trail. And it's based off the 2015 season.
Okay.
So I qualified through the 2015 Bassmaster Weekend Series. Okay. South Carolina division.
When we talked the first time back last fall, you know, you started out with the ABA and you gave kind of a real good reason why it's the trail that's good for the working guy and all the weekend angler. Could you give me that again? I mean, how you started out with ABA and how people can get involved themselves?
Sure. I mean, the ABA, in my opinion, it's a great tournament organization. They have several different levels. You know, that you can compete at. You've got the American Fishing Tour, which is the trail that I won in October. And that one has lower entry fees, and a lot of times you're fishing by yourself. It's more of a, in my opinion, it's more of a club field. It's not a club tournament, but it's more of a club field. You know, you're fishing in smaller fields, and it's a little less at stake in those qualifying tournaments.
Okay.
But you can still qualify to fish, you know, the real big
sure.
tournaments like a national championship where you're giving away a boat and a truck.
Right.
So, and then you also have the weekend series, which is the other trail that I fish, and there's a little bit higher entry fees, but a lot higher payouts. And, you know, those are the draw tournaments you're fishing with co-anglers. So you have different levels. And then, of course, they got the couple series
yeah.
where husband and wives can fish together. And I think they have a new team tournament trail out now, too, that pays pretty good money. But, so it's just a lot of options.
And
it's something there for everybody.
And pretty affordable to boot.
Right, for sure.
Of course, you're kind of at the top now. You're the man to look to. So, Hartwell, last week, a lot of bedding fish, a lot of sight fishing going on. You got the race got coming up. Of course, you guys, competition starts the 7th. What's it going to be like down there? Have you had much time to practice down there? Do you know what April's going to like on Lake Hartwell?
I don't. We had our off limits started like March 6th, so we haven't. Everyone competing in that national championship hasn't had a chance to go out there. I mean, we can keep up with the public media, so FLW and their tournament.
Sure.
We can keep up with all that. And, you know, it looks like the first big wave of spawners moved up for that FLW tour event. And
right.
I expect there still to be the majority of the population of fish will probably be in the middle of the spawn. When we get there. So, yeah, but I still hope that I can find a post-spawn bite. I doubt there will be any good pre-spawn bite, at least nothing that'll last consistently over 4 days, but
okay.
Maybe I can find a post-spawn bite. You know, I certainly don't consider my strength sight fishing. I got a good buddy, Brandon Cobb, and I went out fished with him several times. I learned the hard way that I don't have the eyes that it takes to be great at sight fishing. But, I mean, once I see one, I feel like I can catch them with the best, but it's just
sure.
the whole feeling game.
Right.
I mean, I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love sight fishing. I just don't know if that's my best chances at winning. But we'll see. You know, you never know with these tournaments.
So what is your best way of winning?
For me, I feel like my best shot at winning is to find some sort of post-spawn bite around, you know, maybe some post-spawn fish hanging around docks or maybe even some herring fish going on. That's my best shot at winning, you know, over the course of 4 days. I feel like if I can find something to do with those, one of those two patterns, I think that's my best shot at winning. I'm not saying that's what's, you know, obviously I'm not saying that's going to be the pattern.
Right.
If that is the pattern, I feel like I'll have a much better shot at winning for sure.
You know, we were out there last week, and there was, boy, the schools of herring are all over that lake. Good gracious, love you.
Yeah.
You'd run up any one of those arms or anything, and the spots would be on the bottom, and you had to bait that herring. And at times, they were up top. I mean, you could see them just right underneath the surface, just huge schools of them. And that bite, you know, I remember last year, at least on Lake Murray, around the time of the race got last year on Lake Murray, the herring bite was big. And you think that's going to... weather-wise, you think that's going to happen around the same time this year?
I hope so. We'll see. You know, again, you never know. This weather has been, I've been saying this past 3 years, but this year really is one of the weirdest springs we've had in some time, you know, especially with the flood since October. So, I mean, all these lakes have just been so different this year. And plus, the lakes have just warmed up so fast this
year.
I was going back checking historical weather data and checking the water temperatures, you know, comparing this year to what they were in years past. And I mean, I know in Lake Murray is like an entire month ahead of schedule as far as water temperature goes. I mean, Lake Murray, as of like a week and a half ago, like third week of March, the water temperature on Lake Murray is like 66, and it wasn't like that until like the end of April last year. So,
right.
So this year has just advanced so fast, so it's really hard to say what's going to happen, but. But, I mean, try to go in these tournaments with open minds and let things come to you. At least you try to anyway.
I hear you, buddy. Well, it's going to be fun. For anybody out there, it's, you know, April the 4th through the 6th. You guys get to practice. Competition is April 7th through the 10th. They can come down to watch blast-offs. Weigh-ins are going to be at Green Pond. Got an expo going on. You looking forward to it, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I hope I can get off the lake in time to maybe make one a day or two of one of those expos. I'd like to attend that and be a part of that too. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot going on out there for everyone.
Well, very good, Andy. I appreciate you coming on. I look forward to seeing you again here in a couple of weeks.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir, Andy. Take care.
All right, y'all. Have a good one.
We'll do it. That's Andy Wicker. Just another example of a great South Carolina fisherman. This state is loaded with them. I'm constantly amazed meeting people who, you know, come up and win these tournaments. And we got another one. If you can believe this, the team of Hampton Anderson and Chris Blanchett from the University of South Carolina won the FLW Collegiate Championships last weekend. That makes back-to-back. Last year, when I said something to Andy about Murray last year in the herring bite, that's because for 3 days I was chasing Geddes Brannon and Patrick Walters around Lake Murray. And in the 2015 Collegiate Bass Fishing Tournament, which they won, Geddes is from Gaffney and Patrick from Somerville, and I know Hampton's from Anderson, and I'm not quite sure where Chris is from. But you know, you got a great college program down there at University of South Carolina, winning back-to-back collegiate championships. And at least I was there for the weigh-in on Saturday. I had the show was live down there, and I know I was the last segment I had open, and I was hoping the collegiate weigh-in would be done by 3:45 or so I could get the guys from South Carolina on. And I think I made it, the show ended, and just, of course, I was right there at the weigh-in booth, walked around the corner, and there were three teams left to weigh in. And I sat down, and it was so deja vu from last year, watching them sitting on the hot seat, few teams coming up, and, you know, back-to-back. So congratulations to the team of Hampton and Chris and University of South Carolina, following right along behind Geddes and Patrick last year, back-to-back. Collegiate championships. And now we got Andy, who's, I would say, going into it, maybe a favorite for the Ray Scotts championship coming up. That, there again, if you're interested in this, all this is free. That's the great thing about a lot of this stuff. It's all free. Official practice, they get April 4th through the 6th. Competition, 7th through the 10th. Thursday and Friday, the weigh-ins are at 3 o'clock. Saturday and Sunday, the weigh-ins are at 3 o'clock. I say Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the Green Pond. Sunday, the championship day, is Anderson Civic Center. There's an expo that's going to be taking place. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 10 to 6, 9 to 6, 9 to 6. So make your plans to get down to Anderson. Again, that's April, 7th through the 10th. And catch another big fishing tournament. Hang on, we'll be back and talk to Andy Montgomery. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. And I will say these Ricolas are pretty good, but whatever I've got, it's just not getting any better. But I appreciate you bearing with me. We get through this together. And speaking of getting through, I got Andy Montgomery on the line. Andy, how are you today?
Good, guys. How are y'all?
Man, I'm doing well. Yours still ranks as maybe the top one or two calls to this show I've ever had. That was back when the classic, you know, a couple weeks before the classic about those motorcycle helmets.
Yeah. Well, you never know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, sometimes them really good calls are ones that's actually really bad. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I understand. No, yours, that was a great call. I couldn't believe when you texted back, better buy two.
Yeah.
But anyway, Andy Montgomery's with us. He's on the Bassmaster Elite Series. Probably got one of the coolest sponsors in Farm to Feet that anybody's got. They're some of the best socks out there. I've still got a pair from the Classic, and those are some comfortable socks, let me tell you what.
Absolutely. It's, who would ever thought a fisherman would be sponsored by a sock company, but, it's been a good partnership, and their business is growing, and all you got to do is try one pair on, and then you can see why.
That's exactly right. Well, off season, Andy. I mean, what'd you do besides daddy duty?
Yeah, well, it was actually a lot of daddy daycare. Running daddy daycare a lot while my wife worked, and I got to hunt a little bit. I got to go to Texas for a weekend. So that was great. And definitely didn't get to hunt in South Carolina like I normally do. That's part of being a daddy and loved every minute of that.
Yep.
She'll grow up and I'll be able to get back to hunting as much as I used to.
And then you have a partner to go with you after that.
Yeah. And another bad thing is the floods, you know, we had in South Carolina. A lot of my hunting I do is down around Santee and and the area that we actually hunt a lot was flooded, 4 or 5 foot of water where our stands are at.
Has that gone down? I mean, is that water finally out of there, Andy?
I haven't really checked on it in the last 3 weeks or so, but it wasn't. When I was in Georgetown looking around, it was still, they were still flooded. It's right off the Santee River.
Yeah.
And the Santee River still flooded them swamps.
Goodness. Have you been turkey hunting yet this year?
I've been three times. Actually 3 days in a row. Heard a lot of birds gobbling, but, where I hunt or at my dad's place, there's actually, three or four houses and trailers. Anyway, I had the birds gobbling on one side of the little housing development deal, and I was on the other side. And it's pretty difficult to call one through a little housing community, let me tell you. I tried it for 2 mornings. This morning I was going to outsmart them and get around on the other side, and I didn't hear a single bird gobble. So I don't know about the rest of the state, but for whatever reason, this morning they didn't gobble where I was.
Really?
The last 2 mornings have been incredible. It's been really, really, really gobbling.
I spent last week down on Lake Hartwell in a little house, and Sunday morning when I woke up, I told myself I was going to sleep in and all. Of course, I was awake, before daybreak, but I had the only thing closed was the screen door. I had the regular door open and screen door. Of course, it was nice and cool. And boy, there was a bird up in the woods somewhere just hammering away. And I was like,
that'll get you going.
I'm not a turkey hunter, but it sounded really good.
Yeah, well, I wasn't a turkey hunter, and one of my buddies said, man, you don't need to go. I said, what do you mean? He said, I know how you are. You don't need to go. This was, 4 or 5 years ago, and I went one time and heard one goblin and talked back and forth with him, and then I was hooked. I think I went every day that year that I was home. The last few years, it's been pretty hard. I've been going a lot.
Right.
They extended the season this year, helped me out a little bit.
Yep.
But I've been gone so much the last few years, I really only got to hunt a day or two each year.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get busy, you know it?
Yeah, that's a good thing, though.
It is. Well, congratulations. You got a 15th place at St. John's.
Yes, sir.
That was good.
Yep. It was good to get the season started off on a good note, for sure.
Yeah. Is that a tidal river? I mean, do you have a big tidal range down there on St. John's?
It is. Where we put in Placa, it's a lot of tide. But you can almost outrun the tide. So a lot of the field, the majority of the field is in Lake George, which is 35, 40 miles from Palatka, away from the ocean. So there's still tide down there, but it's very minimum, maybe a foot tide. Maybe it's probably an 8 to 10 inch swing at the most, depending on the moon.
Okay. Well, that was good. It was a good tournament. Boy, what about Granddaddy Rick Lund? Wow.
Ain't that tough? That really is. To be able to compete at his age is really remarkable.
And to catch
traveling,
that.
And it's pretty grueling on physically, a lot more than people realize. And for him to do it at a high level, no seat, he's not a, he don't just drag a worm around either. He gets after it. It's pretty incredible to see, for sure.
Wow.
I didn't realize I knew he was on up in A's, but I didn't realize he was actually that old.
69,
be 70 in, what'd he say, May or June? Something like that.
Couple
so he's closer to 70 than he is 69.
He got him and then Jimmy Houston celebrating 50 years in bass fishing. I mean, those guys they've seen it all,
They definitely have.
Well, tell us about Georgetown. I mean, you guys are going to be in town. I guess, are you headed down in the next week, maybe?
Yeah, Sunday I'll drive down. Practice will start next Monday, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of options in Georgetown, for sure. It's a new place. We've not been there. They don't have a lot of local tournaments on them rivers either.
Right.
They don't have a lot of local tournaments out of Georgetown. They have several on the Cooper River. But it's just a lot of different rivers. You got the Waccamaw, PD, Little PD, Santee, Cooper, just a tremendous amount of options. And you're going to have to make a decision that morning, because once you commit to one river, you know, that's where you're going to be for that day for sure. You got a tidal influence. You got to factor in the tide. There's a lot of variables, a lot of factors going into this tournament for sure.
Going to be a wrench for a lot of people. You spent a few days in there practicing, but you told me all you did was run around and look a lot.
Nah, that's pretty much all you could do. The Cooper don't flood, so I did fish a little bit.
Okay.
But not much. But the other rivers, you know, they wasn't fishable when they was there.
Really?
I just wanted to learn how to navigate them, basically.
Yeah.
And get around and, see how they laid out stuff. But they lay out just like most rivers. It reminds me a lot of the Sabine River system that we fish in Texas.
Okay.
It's very, very, very similar.
Okay. Well, that Cooper's going to be a long run for guys launching out of Georgetown.
It is, and, I almost suspect half the field to go to the Cooper River. I really do.
It's
2+ hours.
Right.
Probably 2.5 hours counting getting gas and stuff. I really expect them to go. I really do.
Wow. I wouldn't have thought that.
We'll see, but it's, even if it takes that long, you're still going to have 3.5-4 hours of fish. Which is a lot of time, if you know where some fish is at. So the quality definitely lives in the Cooper.
That's what I was going to ask you. It's
the best river quality wise.
Yeah, I was going to ask you where down there you think this thing's going to be won on.
Man, if I had to pick one river, I'd say the Cooper.
You're going to be battling the gators up the Cooper River now.
That's one thing I ain't scared of. If there's a bunch of snakes now, me and snakes don't get along. I believe I would have made the top 12 with St. John's last week, or I wouldn't have been swatting them snakes with my push pole the whole time.
Oh, really?
Great.
Tell me.
Oh, man.
Tell me about it.
Love coming to a boat. Well, my marshal, he kept saying, here comes another one. I bend that fire, that push pole right over top of his noggin, make sure he didn't get in my boat.
Me and
snakes don't get along, that's for sure. I ain't scared of no alligator. Probably should be, but.
Well, they're as scared of you as, and it won't be May. I think May's when they breed and they get a little bit ornery during the breeding season.
Yeah.
Mostly they're just going to be laying out there sunning, but there's some big gators up the Cooper River, let me tell you what.
Yeah. Santee Cooper's got, we have a hunting season now, we used to not
have an
alligator. And people talk about Florida and Louisiana seeing these big gators. I've always said, man, y'all ain't seen nothing except Santee Cooper. And it's just because how old our gator was.
Sure.
Yeah, the one the lady killed, it was when they aged it, wasn't it? Around 100 years
old?
Yeah,
that was an old gator.
Incredible.
Yep.
They don't get that big in them, states that you can hunt so long.
Right.
They end up, usually get harvested before they reach 100 years old.
Well, Andy, I appreciate you calling in. I'll see you down there. I'll be down there at least Friday and Saturday, or Sunday, one of the two.
Right. I appreciate it. Like I say, it's going to be interesting. A lot of variables, more variables in this tournament than any tournament we'll fish all year for sure.
So the guy that can adapt is going to be the guy that wins it, right?
A lot of decisions will be made at the ramp. Yes. Based on tides, how the tide's going
right.
to play, the water level. Some of them rivers are still flooded. So if they come down, there's a lot. I'm getting a headache thinking about it. Why'd you make me think about it? I wasn't even going to think about it until I got there.
Well, go back to turkey hunting.
I already got a headache.
Go back to turkey hunting.
Yeah. Well, they've been giving me a headache too, trying to get them to come through that house.
No. Then go play with your little girl. It'd be better that way.
There you go.
All right, man. I appreciate it. I'll see you next week. Appreciate it. I do it all the time. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Looks like we're going to make it. Voice might even be a little better. Thanks to Ricola. Man, I hate cough drops. Of course, Luden's, when you were a kid, could always get by with some candy in class if you said you had a sore throat and had some Ludens cherries in your pocket. Yeah, who didn't try that? usually worked for one or two times. Teacher finally caught on. Let's see. It got a couple more congratulations to go out there. I already talked about the University of South Carolina. Back-to-back collegiate championships. We also got to give a congratulations and a shout-out to the Hurricanes archery team. Yes, I'm biased. My daughter shoots for them on the middle school team. So I go to all the practices twice, three times a week. Maybe not all of them, but my wife and I split those up. But I hear about it. I've got an archery range in my backyard. Go through the throes of sore shoulders and raw fingers and, you know, all that stuff. But it's great. Those kids, this is their third year. This is just starting out their third year of having the archery team. They took first place high school, middle school on at regionals in Anderson. This past Wednesday was the state tournament down in Sumter, South Carolina. And let's see, the elementary shot on Wednesday. Yeah, elementary shot Wednesday. High school shot on Thursday. And they took third place. The middle school team took third place statewide, and the high school took third place statewide. So, which means that our travels don't end with Sumter. They go to Louisville, Kentucky next month for nationals. And of course, nationals and the archery and school programs always takes place in Louisville in Kentucky because that's where the program started. And then Worlds this year is actually in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So we get to stay a little bit closer to home. Still some travel involved. But anyway, congratulations to those kids. They work hard. You wouldn't believe how hard archery can be as far as, you know, it's repetition, but keeping everything the same every shot. And these kids have done a good job at it. So congratulations to them. And look forward to, I know Taylor wanted to be here today to talk about state tournament and all that, but she, it's Easter weekend. My other daughter's home, so they went to bake cookies with some cousins and all. And the rest of those kids, congratulations to them. And the coaches, Patrick and Colleen Pusateri, you know, it is archery, but they're not just interested in the kids doing well in archery. They're interested in them being, developing as full a lifestyle as they can. I mean, one of the most important parts about this is friendships, because it is. You shoot, they shoot, and they shoot, and they shoot, and shoot, and then they have a break. And you have these little groups of kids and all, and it's amazing to see them come together. And these are not your football players, your basketball players, and that's Ryan Bass, and I've talked about this numerous times, that this program gives those that may not be as athletic as everybody else an opportunity to compete in a team sport at the high school level, middle school level. And they do, and the results are incredible. I mean, the grades come up, the attitudes improve. One thing I've been impressed with is Taylor's hand-eye coordination. And we were throwing the football the other day, and it was like, looks like she had stick-em on her hands. You know, but it's that hand-eye coordination shooting that archery, that bow and arrow twice every week at practice. It's an amazing thing. So it's a good program to get involved with. There's, I don't know how many thousands of kids are involved in it this year. I know the middle school team, I didn't look at this. Last year in South Carolina, there were 7 middle school teams. This year, there are 17. And that tells you the growth, at least in the middle school section. I didn't look at the high school numbers. But it's a growing program. If you got a kid who's coming up, public school, private school, homeschool, there are teams out there for them to get involved in. If they're not in the soccer, basketball, football, you know, baseball, that's not their interest, they can get involved in this and be a part of a team. And that's important, kids coming up these days and in these conditions. You know, they're a part of something. Too many of them are feel like they don't belong to anything. And this is NASP, the National Archery and School Program, is just one way they can get involved. I had an email, and I already printed this out to cover today if I had time to get to it. But I got an email from Henry Barnett, who's a DNR officer over in Pickens County. He said, if you would talk about boating safety and some of the upcoming classes. And I already had this out here because it is summer's coming. There are some rules for those kids out there who are operating a boat, personal watercraft, more than 15 horsepowers. You must, and under boater, and here's the layout. Boaters under 16 years of age are required by law to pass an approved boater education course before operating without supervision a PWC or jet ski or a boat powered by a 15 horsepower motor or more. There are two ways to do this. You can do an instructor-led class, which is what Henry's email was. He's got one coming up April the 2nd at the Oconee Heritage Center in Walhalla. It's a 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. class. And then he's got another one coming up on the 23rd, potentially, at Foothills Community Church in Seneca. But it's first come, first served. These are free events, free classes. If you do the instructor-led classes, there's an online self-study course that you can take. It's a $29.50 fee only after you pass the final test. And it's got a little, three little bullet points here. Why you need to take a boater safety course. Practice good seamanship. It is the responsibility of every boat or PWC operator to take all necessary action to avoid a collision. Number two, keep a proper lookout. Failing to keep a sharp lookout is the most common cause of collisions. And three, maintain a safe speed. Safe speed is the speed that ensures you will have ample time to avoid a collision. Always remember to watch for wake zones. And there's some legislation on wake zones that's just come through down in Columbia too, or some proposed legislation. But anyway, the boating classes, of course, under 16, it's recommended for motivated students 12 years of age and older. Course material is on a sixth grade reading level, so you can tell if your kid is ready for it or not. Students under 12 years of age must be accompanied by a parent or legal guardian. Now, a couple of these are already taking place. There's three seats remaining for the March 31st class at Seneca. And then, like I said, April is just full of them. The 2nd, the 5th, and they're scattered all over. Surfside Beach, 96 South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, Walhalla, Port Royal, 96 Orangeburg. All through the month of April, which is as far as I printed off the schedule, there are courses being offered. And I like the classroom settings because the instructors seem to get through a little better as far as emphasizing points and making it real to a kid. So anyway, Henry's going to come on. We tried to set something up today, but neither one of us really know our schedules for the next few weeks, but he's going to be on to talk about the boater education courses, why you need to take one, and then how a class runs. So keep an eye out for that. And if you're headed to the lake this summer, remember, it's only as safe as you make it out there. You know, I don't always, well, let's see. I want to get to this. I won't be negative today. I'm trying to be. This is an email from Wayne and Kristen Benson, Bowling Springs, South Carolina. They wrote this to the FLW. Said, we recently attended the tournament at Lake Hartwell with our 9-year-old son, Hogan. Neither of us know a thing about fishing, but our little boy is obsessed. And I got to say, congratulations to these parents for getting outside of their comfort zone because their little boy likes fishing. He watches these guys every single day on YouTube. They go on to say, Neil Paul at Visit Anderson gave us all the information we needed for the tournament and the events leading up to it. FLW's core values emphasize fostering an interest in fishing, especially in young people being completely new to fishing. We didn't know what to expect, and we're very impressed, especially with the people. We must mention a few names and experiences in addition to the tournament. We went to two Walmart locations, which would have been the Pro Days, Grady's Outdoors, which would have been the David Fritz time he spent at Grady's, and Meet the Pros night down at Belton First Baptist. We're particularly thankful that Hogan got to hear some guys share their faith. Said he met Greg Bohannon, gave him a shirt, a hat, and Old Spice. Greg's sponsored by Old Spice. Our 9-year-old now wears deodorant because it smells like Mr. Greg. David Fritz gave him a Lou's hat at Grady's Outdoor Sport for participating in the casting competition. We also got to see Brian Latimer, who's a local pro on the FLW series, as he enthusiastically encouraged a handicapped teenager who was new to using a bait caster. At church, we met many anglers who each took their time with Hogan, including Hartwell's runner-up, Clark Winlett, who was a really great guy. Made a point of shaking Hogan's hands again after the weigh-in on day 3. So many people, and they mentioned Mark Rose, Bill McDonald, Jimmy Houston, Cody Kelly, Nicole Jacobs, Matt Airy, and many others made him feel special. Tom Clower, who had a cameraman in his boat, even gave him a quick ride. So that's when a tournament comes into town and you get feedback like that from parents who are not involved in fishing, who take their kid because he is obsessed with it, as they say, and get that kind of treatment. That's what we need, because that's getting that next generation involved. So kudos to them. I called Neil because I think I met this kid too while I was down there, and I did. It was the same. And he was into it. And his parents were kind of like, we don't know what to do, but they were, the people down there made sure they knew exactly how it worked. And they end this, their kindness towards a random child makes them your perfect ambassadors, exhibiting the very values that embody the FLW's mission. Many thanks, Wayne and Kristen, Bowling Springs. So glad they made it out. If you want to do some research on some really dumb legislation, South Carolina House approved a $1,000 bounty for killing a coyote. Yes, this is just, it's one of those things that just makes you shake your head. And I think I'll get into that next time. Let's see. What else have I got here? Hey, Bob White Quail Restoration Effort gets a new website. It's www.scbobwhites.org. It's a new initiative to restore Bob White Quail to South Carolina. We're going to have more about that later on down the road. Don't forget, bass is coming to Georgetown. Oh, there's lots of things I'm not going to get to. Family fishing clinics are ramping up too. You'll need to get involved in one of those if you've never been fishing. So let's see. Chuck Norris for this week. Seems like we missed a few weeks of this because I really haven't been here. Yep, Chuck Norris's motorcycle has four-wheel drive. Go figure. Hey, like I said, if I met you last week, thanks for stopping by and saying hello. Hope you'll tune into this show again and again. And as always, make the time to get out there. Spring is here. Let's go fishing, hiking, whatever. Take the back roads when you can. And please, don't forget the camera. I'll see you next week.